presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
Apparently there was another anti-Trump rally over the weekend. It had a red carpet, it had white flowers, loads of pandering towards progressive causes, and many of the attendees even got participation trophies for showing what causes they champion. Torch-bearing for those who hop fences, jump ditches, maybe even take long rides in the trunk of a vehicle or in a poorly fashioned submarine that can get you on the other side of the border and illegally soak up some American benefits that we all pay into. Only this wasn't an anti-Trump rally. This was the Grammys. They carry the banner of standing against sexual harassment with white flowers and tons of virtue signaling. Hooray for us! We're making a difference by standing in solidarity. But then we give awards out to artists who pen songs like B-I-T-C-H, Don't Kill My Vibe. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar. From Newsday, as they talk about Grammys becoming political, it said, it seemed like the political, intense Kendrick Lamar captured the zeitgeist of the evening, winning 5 awards, including Best Rap Album. He opened the show at Madison Square Garden with a stunning performance of XXX that includes cameos from U2's Bono and The Edge and comedian Dave Chappelle, who declared, "The only thing more frightening than watching a black man be honest in America is being an honest black man in America." Shortly after that, Lamar's hoodie-wearing dancers pretended to be shot one at a time. Wow, what a performance. That's Black Lives Matter and Me Too. Let's roll it all up. Going back to the Newsday article, Jay-Z, who came in with 8 nominations to lead all artists, was shut out at the first Grammys ceremony in 15 years. In accepting the award for Best Rap Album, though, Lamar nominated him for office, shouting, "Jay for president!" Because Jay-Z has 99 problems, but gender, income, inequality, and respect for females isn't one. And again, this is the event where women who wear hardly anything or in dresses that look like S&M bondage suits stand on the red carpet for photo ops. I mean, the hypocrisy is thick with these idiots. They don't wear pink vagina hats anymore, seeing how it's not inclusive to transgendered, cisgendered, two-spirit, non-binary, pansexual thingamabobs. And to support the hashtag MeToo movement of crushing the patriarchy, they decided to give almost every award to a male artist. They couldn't even skew their very own results and votes to the point where they could evenly distribute their accolades in such a manner that was inclusive to females or even to all 67 genders. You know, that's how they operate. And while donning their white flowers in solidarity, they do all this posturing. And so it was outrageous. It was so outrageous to the feminist and those who are offended by anything that a hashtag Grammys So Male began to trend on Twitter the following day, to which I recommended to changing it to hashtag Grammys So Stale, because I can't get over Metallica losing the best metal, the first best metal award to Jethro Tull back years ago for a track as epic as One. But that's a whole nother story. But of course, we can't have an award show without making it political. Oh, no. We can't have edgy pop culture on display without a camo by none other than Grandma Clinton, America's granny at the Grammys. She decided to read a passage from the book with tons of factual flaws and filled with inconsistencies such as fire and fury. But, you know, it's a book against Trump, so yay for us! Just listen to this garbage.
Fire and Fury spoken word auditions, take one.
Trump won't read anything. He gets up halfway through meetings with world leaders because he is bored.
Cut!
Sorry, John. Yeah. It's wonderful. It just feels a bit too smooth. I don't think it's going to work.
No. Next!
Okay. His comb over, semicolon, the color was a product called Just for Men. The longer it was left on, the darker it got. Impatience resulted in Trump's orange blonde hair color.
Cut.
Trump did not enjoy his own inauguration. He started to get angry and hurt that stars were determined to embarrass him. I definitely wasn't there.
Cut. Spoken word, Cardi B.
If Trump was not having his 6:30 dinner with Steve Bannon, then more to his liking, he was in bed by that time with a cheeseburger. Why am I even reading this shit? I can't believe this. I can't believe that he really, this is how he lives his life.
He reprimanded the housekeeper staff for picking up his shirt from the floor. If my shirt is on the floor, it's because I want it on the floor. Another one. It's We the Best. It's DJ Khaled. Matter of fact, this is the best spoken word album in the game. I'm finally gonna win my Grammy.
So this isn't gonna work. Next!
It's not gonna work. Everything I do works.
Stand by. Take one.
He had a longtime fear of being poisoned. One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made.
That's it. We've got it. That's the one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
The Grammy's in the bag?
In the bag.
And Hillary reading it? Perfecto. I mean, she is the leader in women's rights. Only she's not. No, not the woman who had the bimbo brigade. Not the woman who ran cover for a sexual predator that worked on her campaign. This from the New York Times, a senior advisor to Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign, who was accused of repeatedly sexually harassing a young subordinate, was kept on the campaign at Mrs. Clinton's request, according to four people familiar with what took place. Ms. Clinton's campaign manager at the time recommended that she fire the advisor, Burns Strider. But Ms. Clinton did not. Instead, Mr. Strider was docked several weeks of pay and ordered to undergo counseling. And the young woman was moved to a new job. So I'm sure she's happy about that. She might have enjoyed her job until Mr. Strider encroached upon her and got her forced out. But Mr. Strider, who was Ms. Clinton's faith advisor, it's amazing. She has faith. She has faith that she won't get caught. She has faith that she is a corrupt, lying individual who would weaponize every bureau of the government against somebody like yours truly or anyone else that speaks out in dissent. Heck, we might end up having, you know, the Goodfellas helicopter following us down the street on our way to work, end up in a body bag later on with the Clintons. But Ms. Clinton's faith advisor, Mr. Strider, was founder of American Values Network and sent the candidate scripture every morning during the campaign. She was hired. He was hired 5 years later with an independent group that supported Ms. Clinton's 2016 candidacy. Correct the Record, which was created by a close Clinton ally, David Brock. Remember that guy? Yeah, he's close to the Clintons. Now, Mr. Strider was fired after several months of workplace issues, including allegations that he harassed a young female aide. According to three people close to Correct the Record's management, Mr. Strider did not respond to multiple requests for comment. Those familiar with the accounts said that over the years, a number of advisors urged Ms. Clinton to sever ties with Mr. Strider, and people familiar with what took place did not want to see Ms. Clinton blamed for the misconduct of men she was close to. Of course, one man she wasn't close to is her husband, as we don't ever see them together, but that's not a part of the story. The complaint from the young woman was initially brought to Jess O'Connell, who was the National Director of Operations for the Clinton campaign. Ms. O'Donnell, who is currently the Chief Executive Officer of the Democratic National Committee, handled the investigation and advised the Clinton campaign manager, Patty Solis Doyle, that Mr. Strider should be fired. Ms. O'Connell told colleagues that she was concerned that the young woman making the allegations should not be demoted when she was moved from Mr. Strider's supervision. The woman requested to have no more interactions with Mr. Strider, and she was moved to a different job within the campaign, reported directly to Mike Henry, the deputy campaign manager. Maybe we'll hear about Mike Henry and harassment down the road. Who knows? The investigation into Mr. Strider's conduct was described as brief, but it included a review of a number of emails he had sent the young woman who had shared an office with them. A spokeswoman for Ms. Clinton's campaign provided a statement and basically said, to ensure a safe working environment, the campaign had a process to address complaints of misconduct and harassment when matters arose. We were reviewed in accordance with these policies and appropriate action was taken. And then, of course, Hillary, the queen of micromanaging, extreme vetting, all the way down to her mailman and cashier at Chipotle, was completely unaware any of this happened. That's right. The progressive left's proclaimed smartest woman in modern history always magically knows nothing and is completely unaware of anything. She only took over the operations for the DNC as a financial bailout by the Clinton Foundation because they were a party that was flat broke after Obama dive-bombed it into the dirt. The woman who doesn't know how to operate her, quote, blueberry while operating multiple Blackberries and having a private server in the bathroom of a Pacific Northwest office building, the same server that requires you to jiggle the handle of the neighboring toilet to ensure network security, this is the same lady who is inept with technology, so much so that she had to have her department's devices pummeled into fine dust, which you could snort off the back of a hooker or a hooker's rear. That's the genius of the left, that they are able to frame somebody who they consider is the brightest and most intelligent woman in the world as completely naive and unaware of anything. And she apologized in a tweet. A story appeared today about something that happened in 2008. I was dismayed when it occurred, but was heartened the young woman came forward and that she was heard and had her concerns taken seriously and addressed. I called her today to tell her how proud I am and to make sure she knows that all women should, we deserve to be heard. Of course, everyone except Juanita Broderick, who made her voice heard by saying in response, "Really? You are such a liar, Hillary. You probably called her to cover your behind." Of course she did. Nothing is authentic with these people. Nothing. Nothing is never contrived. Nothing is never orchestrated. I mean, everything is orchestrated. Everything is contrived by the Clintons. Everything is focus tested. Everything is focus group tested. Everything is scripted. I mean, we're going to get, you know, a young lady come down at the MTV Meet the Candidate back in 1993 or 92, whatever, and say, "Hey, President Bill Clinton, boxers or briefs?" Of course, everybody wants to know what his crusty drawers are. But on top of that, was she now a part of the hashtag MeToo movement for asking that question and being violated by Bill Clinton's answer? No, because the Clintons are absolved of any guilt. They are shielded of any corruption. They are basically exonerated with any sort of wrongdoings. Bill Clinton could bang out a number of whores on the Oval Office desk, on the Resolute desk. He can resolve to hit that behind and no problem. That's just sex. What are you worried about, you perv, Kenneth Starr? Why are you digging into his personal life? It's only sex. Remember that? Now that comes full circle and becomes hashtag Me Too. But remember what I said on previous shows. Hashtag Me Too isn't about sexual harassment, even though that's what it's supposed to be. It's just like Antifa. It's just like Black Lives Matter. It is a movement to take a victimized group and ignite them politically against their opponents. Back in a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
The Grand Mal Clinton wing of America, who praised her and propped up Black Lives Matter, illegal immigration of the Dreamers, and the third wave weaponized feminism movement of Me Too at the Grammys, you know, they decided to have their own State of the Union. The People's State of the Union, you know, the workers, proletariat, socialist state of the Union. Because I remember when we had those under Obama. Remember that? Only we didn't. And if we did, we would have been labeled, it would have been labeled as a Klan rally. We'd all be labeled racist. And when I first heard about this, I kind of had an image painted in my head. How would the People's State of the Union look like? Well, the People's State of the Union will have Sam from Who's the Boss. Yeah, remember her? Yeah, you may not, because that's a long time ago. She's out there mining for her relevancy while Chelsea Handler pivots and sways with a fifth of vodka to become a drunken activist who could probably benefit from a golden shower to get that stank off of her. Oprah will emerge and join her partner Gail in equally distributing white sedans to Americans a la Soviet Union style allotment via audience member seat lottery. Michael Moore will go to that Bowling for Columbine bank and, you know, he's going to pass on the free firearms that the bank was supposedly giving out, which never happened. And for opening his savings account, he will get the free toaster And he can make a plethora of Nutella and jam slices that he could muscle down his prickly, unshaven snout. Next, Jenny McCarthy, you know, she'll show us gluten-free, autism-free recipes that will make you rethink the vaccination conspiracy and long to be injected with polio and syphilis mainlined, like Lane Staley shooting up in a condemned apartment complex. Rosie O'Donnell and Lena Dunham, they're going to fight an 8-round grudge match to see who will be the true champion, the queen pig of third wave feminism, all during the People's State of the Union. So Michael Moore hit the stage with predictable bitterness, still unable to accept a political loss over a year later. I mean, it's almost as if the progressives could taste the fundamental transformation America on their teeth, that through the culture, bludgeoning us continually with Marxist agenda, along with colleges nurturing and indoctrinating the youth with extreme Marxism, that we're at the tipping point, that through 8 years of the most Marxist president since Woodrow Wilson, shoving policies through with a pen and a phone, that we were teetering on the edge of falling into the lake of fire and brimstone that's called Marxism and communism. All of this talk about Russian meddling in our elections, I'd go so far to say that they almost won before Trump was elected. I mean, the internal destruction that Khrushchev warned us that they would inflict upon us to bury us from within was being accomplished by the progressive left this entire time. We were at that Mortal Kombat finish him moment, you know, swaying, being whipped and beaten, ready to be completely wiped out. Only the Americans, tons that were the despised flyover nation that loves this country to the core, they were held politically hostage through two terms of Marxism, and they stood up and they yanked the cord on all of this. They tried to be cordial during the midterms. They protested. They followed the rules, cleaning up after themselves, doing things the right way, to no avail, a la Tea Party. So now they've said, screw it, and they've unleashed the bull in the china shop. And he went through in the beginning saying, I'm going to take on the FBI and the intelligence divisions because they're awful. And everybody said, that's not a good idea. And look what's happening to them. They're being uprooted left and right. I mean, we're going to take on the establishment. Well, we're getting some things. ANWR. You know, we're going to be allowed to drill. We're getting some tax cuts and tax reform. I would have wanted more. We had the ability to do more. We had the numbers to do more. We owned all of the positions, all of the departments, all of the chambers, all of the branches. But we got something out of the deal. So this is the result, the bull in the china shop. Unfortunately, this had to happen because this isn't the, you know, the left is no longer the Kennedy style party. They are a concentrated battalion of Marxism, boiled down to pure communist evil, the kind that booed God twice at their presidential convention. So they must be fought with the same fervor because they don't have any interest in ceding ground in favor of any compromise. So back to the People's State of the Union, let's take a moment and decipher a little bit of Michael Moore's address. And I'm sorry that you have to hear his blathering in advance, so bear with me.
But removing him and Pence and the whole disgusting lot of them in Congress and in our state capitals still won't be enough. But removing him and Pence and the whole disgusting lot of them in Congress and in our state capitals still won't be enough. We must remove and replace the system and the culture that gave us Trump in the first place. He did not just fall out of the sky and land in Queens. He is the result of a decades-long corporate takeover of our democracy and of us never correcting the three original sins of America. A nation founded on genocide, slaves and maintained through the subjugation of women to second-class citizenship and economic disempowerment. That's how they've gotten away with it. As we seek to rid ourselves of Trump, we must also cleanse our American soul of its white male privilege, its voracious greed, and its enforced ignorance that has made a population of semi-literate and unaware people.
So let's take this apart a little bit. Okay, first he said, we must remove and replace the system and culture that gave us Trump in the first place. In other words, we got to continue the fundamental transformation of Obama and the Marxist left, and we've got to keep our finger on Flyover Nation and not allow them to make a mistake like this ever again, not allow them to enjoy freedom and natural rights, and we got to have government step in and basically change the dynamic. He is the result of decades-old corporate takeover of our democracy. In other words, he is a representation of what they look at as capitalism, although I would say it's more of a crony capitalism. But they're looking at it as the evil capitalism system. You know, it's got to be shut down because of their earnings, the CEO's earnings that they're not hoarding, they're using to take over democracy. And remember what I said about democracy. What they think is democracy is not what you and I think is democracy, because they're livid over our representative Republican system, the system that allows equal distribution of your interest. You know, the fact that California and New York don't decide the entire country's elections as they do here in Virginia and Fairfax County. The fact that if you're living in Utah or in Idaho, your vote counts just as much as somebody in Sacramento or in Albany. So we must keep that in mind. We must keep the fact that that's why the Republican system, the representative Republican system, was designed in the first place, because they understood all of this. And I think the electoral system should be applied on the state level as well, especially what we deal with here in Virginia, especially what happens in California. But, you know, they're thinking that evil capitalism is coming to take over, and he is the representation of it. You know, this is why they're so livid at representative republicanism, because it allowed Queen Grandma Clinton to lose election over electoral votes and not popular vote. But going on, then he says, and of us correcting the three original sins of America. Number one, a nation founded on genocide, which was actually a nation built on accidentally arriving in the hemisphere while searching for a faster trade route, colonizing when we landed in America, and coexisting with nomadic native tribesmen who many times sold their land to the new arrivals. And hey, I mean, we just got rid of Chief Wahoo, the mascot for the Cleveland Indians baseball team. So are we good? We're good here? Or we got to get that Redskin thing out of here too, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to gloss over it. There was injustices too. I mean, there was things we did with the Native Americans that were not cool. But that's because we as people are sinful people. We are evil people in nature. Our evil has to be checked. And our check and our balance is our reverence towards natural rights, which Michael Moore, I would surmise, probably doesn't believe that higher creating power that I like to call God even exists. So, but that, you know, basically, injustices happened, but there were many instances where it wasn't injustice. It was just different views. Native Americans didn't view property rights, and we did. You know, think about California. You know that area that the left wants to give back to Mexico? Well, Mexicans weren't native to it, okay? You can ask the Mayans about that. So let's go on his next bullet point. It was built on the backs of slaves. Well, there were slaves here. We used slaves, I'm not going to lie, but there was also indentured servants, people that put themselves into slavery willingly to be able to work themselves out of it so that they could gain citizenship in the New World. There's colonists as well. It wasn't just built on the backs of slaves. We didn't come over and just sit back and make them build all of our, you know, all of our monuments and all of our state houses and industry and maintain through the subjugation of women through second-class citizenship and economic dispowerment. Okay. Tons of female CEOs on Wall Street. Ask Meg Whitman. I mean, there's tons of female politicians. You know, Carly Fiorina, Condoleezza Rice, Michelle Bachmann, but they're all conservative. We can't. Mia Love. Oh, she's a black conservative. We can't have that. They're all, you know, they're disqualified. It's got to be on the left. My wife makes more money than me. I don't care. I didn't marry in that way. It just so happened that she made her way. She worked hard and no one kept her down. Take a look at the Davos World Economic Summit. The board. Go Google the board members. They were all, every single one of them, female and very well to do. Top of their game. So, you know, and then the white male privilege, we got to get rid of that. Yeah, it sucks being a white guy because you apply for a job and you're automatically glossed over because, you'll get another chance. We got to give it to this person because he's got a special requirement, special quota we got to fill. You know, we have to make it a, you know, like Bill Clinton said, a portrait of America. You know, we got to throw some Asians in here and some blacks and some, you know, some women just because we've got to round it out. Never mind that we should base it on talent. You know, that's what the argument on the Grammys were. Ed Sheeran ends up winning over all the females and everybody gets livid. Well, maybe it's because he is a good songwriter. Hell, maybe Kesha and some of those other people were singing songs he wrote because he writes a lot of music for other artists. So if he wins, maybe it's based on his writing skill and not the fact that he's a man. So that's kind of a summary of what I look at as far as the, you know, people's state of the union, the workers, socialist, utopian, government-controlled state of the union that Michael Moore and his cast of crazy Nazis or crazy commies out there decided to throw up in New York. Back in a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
So the real State of the Union happened, not the People's Socialist Republic State of the Union address with the washed-up sitcom stars, failed drunken comedians, and bitter progressive fictional documentary producers, but the actual one. And Trump actually did a heck of a job. I mean, it received 75% approval. So that kind of shows you how a constant media bludgeoning can frame you in a certain light. I mean, yeah, he doesn't help himself by stepping in it with some of his Twitter trolling, which some of it I like. But even George W. Bush had this problem. If you just hear him speak with no punditry, with no misleading headlines, just a camera, a microphone, you, me, and him, you're going to have a more favorable view of this guy. I mean, that's going to happen until the media tries to go back and tell you that you shouldn't have that view, and they know why, because they know more than you, and even though they're 100% off the mark, they're going to push that issue. But one of the things I liked about it was the punctuation of certain bullet points, some of the issues that he wanted to cover, by showing those who were affected, good or bad. It was pretty impactful, and it worked because it was real. I mean, it wasn't the usual pandering. It wasn't like, here's Joe the plumber, and he's out of a job because of the economy, and we need to do it now. You could see the emotion on the faces of the family who lost their daughters to violent Mexican gang members, MS-13. You could feel the proud confidence of Corey the welder, who benefited from the economic sunshine that is piercing through the clouds of an overregulated, overtaxed business sector. You could see the relief and the love of newly found freedom on the face of the North Korean defector as he held up his crutches and aided by the American medicine community, you know, with his prosthetics. It was all real. And oddly enough, the guy who is has a narcissistic streak within him wasn't making it about him at all. He was actually honoring these people. And that's what made it real. There was the child who was honoring the veterans by placing American flags and flowers at the Northern California Cemetery, his name Preston Sharp. It was a patriotic moment. There were chants of USA, USA, bellying out by many in the audience. And that chant caused Luis Gutierrez to hightail it out of the chambers. The patriotism scared the bejesus out of him. I mean, it's amazing what the left did with this opportunity, and they squandered it. I mean, the ACLU complained Trump used the word America more than 80 times. Well, we live in America. And it was the state of the union. Union being the United States of America. The union of states, you moron. But for the Democrats to snub their noses at all of this just showed who they really were. They're the ones we talked about before the commercial break in the last segment. The partisan Marxist who despise the country, who despise its founding. They booed at the proposal of eliminating chain migration. Cory Booker had that contrived, angry look on his face as soon as the camera panned in his direction. Hashtag 2020 elections. I mean, he looked like some kid stole his Legos. And Nancy Pelosi, was she chewing cud or something? I mean, she was just gnawing away at something. It was just ridiculous. And Trump was offering things that they would want, which is what we'll get into in a moment. And they wanted none of it. There was maybe a couple head nods, but we can't make that too obvious because, you know, well, Trump. So they have to hold the offended offensive line and not embrace anything he's offering. And then you look at things like what Joy Reid tweeted out. Church, family, police, military, the national anthem. Trump trying to call on all of the troops of 1950s era nationalism. The goal of this speech appears to be to force the normalization of Trump on the terms of a bygone era his supporters are nostalgic for. Yeah, he should have used your troops. Open borders, protest anything and everything American, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood, communism, all the tropes of 1960s era anti-American activism. I mean, yeah, let's go to that. Let's go to the baby booms who have basically screwed this country up. Now, the policies Trump was proposing was a bit of an issue for me because the first one was the paid family leave, which I guess government is going to cover. I mean, this was Ivanka's little pet idea that was, I was firmly against that when, you know, when he was even running as a nominee because he was touting that idea. It's a Democrat giveaway. How about we let business and the markets determine if they can handle covering long-term expenses for extended leave? Why do we have to force them into it? Or why do we have to pay for it as taxpayers? I mean, think of the amnesty he was going to offer. What, 12-year period to become dreamers? To become citizens? I mean, that's unnerving. How is that going to be handled? I mean, the only way I would want that approach is through a provisional permanent resident status. No voting rights. And under this provisional status, you can be here in the country and you can now go through the existing immigration process to obtain voting rights. That's the pathway to citizenship. Take the original road to citizenship, not the quick queue. You don't get to jump in front of the line and cut everybody off at the pass. But it would be their choice as to whether or not they want to be citizens or not. The crumbling infrastructure, that's using the language of the left. It is a progressive talking point and accepts their premise. And we can't absorb the cost of this type of government spending. It's short-term, short-sighted, Keynesian economic injections. It doesn't do much for the economy outside of just putting some money in someone's pocket for a couple of years. We did this shovel shite ready job creation garbage under Obama and it did nothing. So we're going to go $1.5 trillion. We're going to have to get to the details on this one before we can really get it down. But apparently the 4D Chinese checkers Yahtzee that Trump likes to play is offer the opposition everything they want, watch them snub it and either say, see, they don't want to work with us, or if they decide to accept it, just deny it all right there and make them look like fools. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But for all of the non-conservative proposals Trump was offering, we have to remember that it's all got to go through Congress first. And I know my confidence in Congress is about as much as I have for giving a personal loan and thinking I'm going to be paid back by a meth head. But the Freedom Caucus has been pushing them to follow the ideology of conservatism for the most part. So, I mean, we may have a chance there. I agreed with his statement on building up our nuclear arsenal, but on a funny side note, I thought Trump was saying building our nuclear arsenal would be a deterrent against any ex, like ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, but he actually was saying it would be a deterrent against any acts of aggression. The way he said acts sounded like he said ex, so I thought it was pretty funny. But then we get to the Democrat response. Eagerly anticipated. Who delivers it? Joe Kennedy. Because if you want to seem like a moderate party again, you want to seem less Marxist, you wheel out a Kennedy, and there ain't many of them left. So you get robots like this guy.
Many have spent the last year anxious, angry, afraid. We all feel the fractured fault lines across our country.
The only thing I can think of was, wait, why is this ginger hanging out in a muscle car repair shop? Doing the response from Joe's garage? Can we pour some Marco Rubio's water on Chia Kennedy and watch him grow into some kind of relevancy? Maybe have him change the oil in the muscle car while instructing us on the process of oil changing in Espanol? I mean, he praised Black Lives Matter. He lifted up a transgender individual hooked on drugs after years of bullying. All of the progressive talking points were there. But his delivery was horrible, and he was just drooling everywhere. I mean, social media was flooded with hilarious takes. One had a meme of him standing in front of the car with the caption that said, "I know what you're thinking, but I did not crash this car." Another said, "That car behind me has nothing to do with any car in any river." All slights against Ted Kennedy. Of course, the usually coarse Ann Coulter actually tweeted something that I could actually get behind when she tweeted out, "His father is the one who paralyzed the girl, not the one who was addicted to heroin." Ouch. John Gabriel from Ricochet, who's awesome, go follow him at XJohn. He said, "Probably not the headline you want to see," and linked to a Politico article that had the headline, "Was drool coming out of Joe Kennedy's mouth?" I mean, it looked like he was a slobbering dog. They tried to make him human and relatable. You know, the Harvard guy, they're going to put him in front of, you know, in a vocational school to give his response as he sits on the hill of sustenance that was the rich Standard Oil inheritance, the legacy of the Kennedy family. Joe Kennedy is no everyman, even with the car's hood raised. It was as though Democrat strategists said, "Hey, you want to know how to look American? Let's put a car behind you with the hood up, throw some red, white, and blue in there, maybe add some military memorabilia into the mix, and then just phone it on in." Ben Rhodes tweeted, "Kennedy is accomplishing something very hard, fighting back while offering a unifying message." Nah, he was actually accomplishing the art of becoming a parody, a drooling parody at that. So, note to self, Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio, Tim Kaine, Joe Kennedy, they've given me sage advice. Don't ever give a State of the Union response, ever. It never works out well for you. And I thought it was interesting what Pat Caddell, a Democrat strategist, said. He said he was speaking in Spanish to the Dreamers. Shouldn't they understand English if they've been in America since birth? Good question. And the following morning, the Senate Democrats headed to Mount Vernon for their annual issues retreat, which should work out swimmingly because they are full of issues. Man, do they have issues. Back in a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
So the Super Bowl is coming up, and, you know, I was thinking about it. I saw a tweet come through online about professional darts. That's right. They're pushing this professional darts sport, I guess, through the BBC. And it was like, is America ready for professional darts? Yeah. But you know what? If it's going to be like the NFL, if there's going to be some sort of special counsel on racial justice, and if we're going to have kneeling all the time at the championship events are going to be filled with Black Panther, halftime shows, pulling out boobs and basically lambasting the American values, I might actually tune in. I might actually give professional darts a chance. So I don't know what's going to happen. Patriots, Eagles, who knows? But after they attacked the veterans and they made them pull that ad on hashtag please stand, I have to rethink whether or not I even want to sit there. I mean, I'm going to sit there and eat chips and salsa, wings, maybe a couple brewskis, and put on about 10 pounds and in the course of sitting through one game just to watch America get completely denigrated? I mean, come on. Why do I want that to be going on with my kids and my friends and family huddled around trying to just enjoy a mindless game at the end of a weekend? You know, we're going to have commercials where it's all going to be political and stark, and it's going to be super, super freaking annoying. So be ready for that. Also wanted to throw in that Trey Gowdy, it looks to be that Trey Gowdy is no longer going to be seeking re-election. And, you know, I've had my issues with him. He speaks really well. He puts on a heck of a show when he's attacking people. But at the same time, we never see him follow through. But to lose him, we are losing a lot of people who are just not seeking re-election. And so we need to be thinking midterms are going to be looking halfway decent because the Democrats pulled the crap that they did at State of the Union, because tax cuts are going to put more money in your pocket, because regulations are going down, the economy is going to grow. The blue wave that everybody thinks is coming could be just a false alarm. Could be Hawaii putting up the red alert for the tsunami warning. I don't know, because it's not going to be a blue wave based on where we're at right now. And even though it's, you know, a few months down the road and anything can change, like the 2-minute warning, I don't see them changing their stripes. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Adrian Slade. You can check me out every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Talk America Radio, the Liberty Channel, also the Justice Channel on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. You can also check me out on the weekends on the Liberty Channel, Saturday, 9 a.m. Also that evening at 10 p.m. on the Justice Channel, Saturday, 7 p.m. and also 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. Find the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, TuneIn app. Get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in your streaming store, and maybe even donate. Adrian Slade at patreon.com/AdrianSladeShow. $2 will get you advanced screenings of the show and extras. We'll see you guys next time.